What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 497, and across the screen from me is Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Just trying to survive this heat. We didn't talk about that before, but it was like 100 and something today and just a little bit of a heat wave, but it's supposed to cool down a bit. So
it was decently hot here. I've been inside a lot, so I haven't really been outside to experience much of the heat here. But yeah, the summer heat wave, it's
here.
Super hot before all, you know, for you, it's going to eventually get colder. You know?
Yeah. You just stay right around the same.
But this week's episode is brought to you by our friends over at ASRock and their liquid CPU coolers. So if you didn't know, they actually make quite a lot of liquid CPU coolers, almost all of them that Ryan took a look at. But they also have some high-end coolers that they just recently came out with. So if you are doing something like an AI type of build or something like that with a workstation CPU, they actually have coolers for those as well. But of course, they have their Phantom Gaming line, their Steel Legend line, their Challenger line, and their Pro line as well. They also have their Tai Chi line, which isn't on their website yet, but I've had a chance to take a look at it, and they have a couple new coolers coming down the line as well. So they have like a full line of coolers, and Ryan, like I said, took a look at almost all of them.
They're really good. Yeah, they're
great. For a first generation cooler, these coolers are their first generation of their liquid coolers. They're pretty good overall. Yep. So if you do want to learn more, you can go to thinkcomputers.org/ASRockAIO, and you can get all the information on their latest liquid CPU coolers. And we thank them for sponsoring this week's episode. Now, on this week's episode, we have quite a lot to talk about. First thing is going to be a really cool air cooler that I took a look at that has a really unique feature. Then we're going to talk about a really awesome case mod. Yep. NVIDIA RTX 50 Super Series. Will it come out? Will it ever come out? We don't know. Some updates to NVIDIA DLSS 5, one of the big ones being like keeping the artistic vision of the developer in mind. So some updates to that. DDR5 prices are the highest that they've ever been, which is sad. Windows running on Steam Machine, right around the same performance, which is actually really, really good. OpenAI released a hardware product, so we'll talk about that. Really crazy story out of Taiwan, how much power TSMC uses, and some really projected numbers for GTA 6, which would probably be the biggest gaming release ever, I'm guessing. But we have all that to talk about. And if you did want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page here that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So if you hear something and you want to learn more, all the articles are right here. Or if you're watching or listening and you just want to, you know, open it up and follow along live, you can go ahead and do that as well. So we're going to start with an air cooler. And everybody knows Trikes for their liquid CPU coolers. And when they came on the scene, they made a big splash because they were essentially the first that I remember to have the curved screen on an AIO. You reviewed a handful of their coolers. They were essentially the first to do it. Everybody was like, why didn't we think about this before? And then now every brand has a curved AIO.
Pretty much, yeah.
So now they have their first air cooler. And their first air cooler is not just your typical heatsink air cooler. This cooler features a 5-inch IPS display, 60 FPS, just a awesome looking display that you get on an air cooler. So they're making another big splash because this is their first air cooler, and it's not just some simple cooler or anything like that. Features the screen. And a lot of the same things that you saw with their liquid CPU coolers as far as the software and everything else, you're going to get with this air cooler. So this is their Taurus 620, and it is a massive CPU cooler, as you can see. So we're going to get into everything, including the screen and all of that. as far as size, it's one of the biggest air coolers that I've reviewed lately. 165 millimeters by 135 millimeters by 165 millimeters. That means that it will fully cover your memory. So if you were doing a new build and you were thinking about this cooler, don't buy RGB memory because it's going to be covered by this cooler. Now, this cooler features two fans, and they are right here. They're 120 millimeter fans, and they're on like a rail system. So you can easily like lift them off the cooler. And the cool thing about the front fan is by default, you get 45 millimeters of clearance for memory. So that would be like any normal size memory. But if you did have memory that was a bit taller because it has a certain design or a larger RGB element, you can lift the front fan up to 10 more millimeters to give you 55 millimeters of space for your memory. So the rail system is really easy. And then you can see we have a dual tower, dual fan design. You can see that center fan in here. The heat sinks are pretty hefty, and then they are cut at the front and the back just so you don't have any clearance issues, not only with memory, but other motherboard components, because again, this is a very large cooler. Taking a look, we can see the design of the fin stack and everything like that. Now on the top of the cooler, this is where, you know, this product really shines. We have this 5-inch IPS display here, sort of like a little mirrored reflective section. And this is just a top cap. So it's held on by magnets, and, you know, you can remove it and you can see that they're using pogo style connections. So when you pull this off, it's not like you have this cable mess going everywhere with,
yeah, that's good,
you know, with the connection for the LCD or anything like that. Just pogo style connections, really easy. And then we can see that center fan, and then you can see that rail system. So all you have to do is pull up on it and it simply pulls out. Really easy to go ahead and do. So that is essentially the cooler. It does have six millimeter thick heat pipes. And then of course we have the nickel plated copper base and everything like that. Kind of a standard dual tower, dual fan cooler, you know, but we have the screen, which of course is the big seller here. Now installing this is really easy. I made the mistake of just like not reading the directions really and figuring it out. But because, and you're going to see this with a lot of coolers. We saw it with Noctua, Cooler Master with their new V8 Ace. They have an AMD version and an Intel version. Just because the IHSs on Intel and AMD are extremely different now. So this cooler has this connection plate here, which moves the offset a little bit. When I installed it, I just left it on the default offset, which is the Intel optimized offset. And then I realized, wait a minute, it needs to be in the AMD optimized offset. Now you can install it. I was able to install it on my AMD cooler with the Intel optimized offset, but there's like a 2 to 3 degree difference using it in AMD optimized offset. So make sure you do that. It's the part that's in the center of the cooler here. And it's just two screws. So this hole right here is the Intel offset. These holes that have, they say A, those are for the AMD offset. So don't make the mistake that I did. But beyond that, it's really easy to get this installed. We're doing it on AMD AM5 socket. So you remove the default AMD mounting bars that are normally there. Then you take these AMD spacers, put those in there. Then you install their mounting bars. Really easy to do. And there are arrows on these to let you know which direction they go, but they go in the top and bottom of the socket. Should look something like this. And then all you do is you place the cooler on top, lining up these screws with these sort of like poles that are on the mounting bars, and you just screw it in place. Really easy to do. As you see, we had to remove the center fan, but that just pulls out. And they do include this L-shaped screwdriver. I'm not the fan of L-shaped screwdrivers. It just makes things a little harder to turn. I just would have liked a normal screwdriver, but got it installed, no problem. And you can pretty much really easily install this with your motherboard mounted in your system. The cooler's not too big, and because you can fully remove that center fan, it is really easy to get this installed. We do all of our installations outside of our system so we can show it to you, but this is one that you could do with the motherboard mounted in your system. So if you were upgrading to this, you wouldn't have to fully remove your motherboard, which is definitely nice there. And you can see when I first installed it, I was in the Intel offset, but
oops,
yeah, but I switched it for the second round of testing. So you put your fan back on, you connect everything, and then you connect the USB cable. One thing I like about the USB cable, which powers the screen and allows it to, you know, talk to your PC, is that it's long enough to go out the top, around the back of your motherboard tray, and out the bottom. So yep. You don't have this cable kind of going through your system. It's all nice and hidden, and it just connects to that bottom mounted USB 2.0 header. So definitely like that. And you can see when it's installed, fully covers your memory. But again, we didn't have to move our fan up or anything like that with our normal size memory modules, you know, but it is big. It's going to take a considerable amount of space. But again, that space is being nicely used because we have this LCD screen right here. So you can see just how much space this does take up. Now, going to the software, just like their AIOs, it uses their Kanali software. Really simple piece of software. When you open it up, it will show you the Trikes, you know, products that you have installed. We have the Taurus here. So you have some network stats, CPU load, GPU load, memory load, and hard disk load, all of those there. You can see the specifications of your system here. And then you go to the actual Taurus submenu, and in there you have 24 total presets for this. And these are simple animations that will show up on the screen, and I'll show you those in a second. Within that, you can actually select three different stats that you can put on the screen itself. So you have things like CPU temperature, CPU frequency, CPU usage, GPU temperature, you know, memory utilization, date and time. You can display three at the same time. You can choose whether they show up white text or black text. You can also, you know, set if they're to on the far left of the screen, the far right of the screen, or sitting in the center of the screen. But because of certain animations, or if you put your own thing on the screen, I feel like the text is a little hard to read. I wish you would have an option to either add an outline or a shadow, so it's easier to see those. But if you're not into the presets, you can add your own media to this. It supports, you know, normal pictures, it supports animated GIFs, it supports media files, and media files up to 500 megabytes, and they have to be 1080p. They can't be 4K or anything like that. I was able to easily add one of my playbacks of Apex Legends in there, played no problem. Now, keep in mind, the screen is 16:9, not 16:10. So a lot of your gameplay or other media will be cropped a little bit when it goes in there. You can also live record your screen and add it into your media library. And the cool thing about the media library is you can have a bunch of things. You can have pictures, you can have videos, you can have GIFs, and you can loop them if you want to, or you can shuffle them and just, it will go between each one. You can have a lot of stuff going on, which is cool. And at the same time, while you have your own media playing, you can also display those three pieces of system information as well. So, you know, here's what it looks like. The screen is really good. It's 60 FPS, 720p screen, but it looks really, really good. All of the preset animations that
they're really good.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah.
They look really nice and everything like that. Here's just a handful of them, but they look really, really good.
They loop really well too.
Yeah, they. It just seems like it's a continuous animation. It doesn't seem like it's a loop and then it stops and it's a loop.
Yep.
They work really well. So if you have them up on your screen at all times, it's not going to feel like, you're not going to look over and be like, oh, it just looped there. Like, you just won't know, which I really like. Now, here's what I was talking about with the system information. I just wish you could put an outline or a drop shadow or something on this.
Like a frosted background or something.
Yeah, or something that you would display. And again, if you have them on one side, they're going to look like this. You can put them here, and then you can put them in the center if you want. And then here's my gameplay. And I have to say, It looks awesome on the screen. Like, it looks really good on the screen. We will be having a full-length YouTube video coming out that really shows you all of this so you can see it in real time. Also, short-form video coming out should be tomorrow, so stay tuned for that so you can see that too. But it looks really good on this screen. So if you're somebody who has gameplay, or like, you can load any type of media on here that you want. You can do a slideshow with like friends and family. You can do just a bunch of funny GIFs that you want on there. Whatever you want, you can put on here, which is really good. And here's an example of what a photo looks like. But everything looks really good on this. Here's the animated GIF I did, which was like the Matrix. I just downloaded it off the internet and I just added it, and it's just a GIF of the Matrix, and it looks really cool. So I really like the Kinali software. Super easy to use, and the screen looks awesome. Screen looks awesome, obviously without a side panel on, but even with a side panel on, it looks good. There's no reflection or anything like that, or glare that you're going to get off of your own side panel window, unless your side panel window is full of fingerprints. So it looks awesome. And then when it comes to testing, this is dual tower, dual fan. It can handle up to 280 watt TDP. And in our testing, it did quite well. So if we look at our idle temperature, it's the best idle performance that we've seen from an air cooler. Under our first load, it's pretty high up there as well. And then under load two, again, very high up as far as temperatures go. Now, noise levels are a bit of a different story. It is louder than a lot of other coolers that we have tested. You can see it's quite loud at idle. Load one, it is the loudest air cooler. And then it kind of does a lot better at load two. I think when you get up into higher temperatures, that fan kind of speeds up a little bit, but it kind of levels off, you know, once it gets to kind of that maximum, which is 1850 RPM. So I think overall, and the loud fan isn't loud. It's not like an AMD stock cooler that sounds like it's going to take off, you know?
Yeah.
So it is, like I said, it's a solid cooler, one of the best performing coolers, and you get that screen, which there's a couple that are going to be coming out that also have screens, but I think the implementation here is really good, and it's not a square screen. It is a wide screen. So if you did want to play actual media on it, it's going to be in that widescreen format. So I really like that, especially if you're, you know, doing something like gameplay or whatever it may be, it's going to be in that wider screen format. So I definitely like that. Just looks awesome. Really easy to install. Like I said, if anything, I didn't like the screwdriver, like the screwdriver type that it came with. That's not a big deal because you're going to be installing this once probably. Beyond that, the fans are a little bit loud. It's $129.99, and I think with the screen and everything that you're getting, the performance in this market right now, I think that is a good price for everything that you're getting. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. Again, great 5-inch IPS display, easy to install for how big it is, great performance. The fans are on that rail system too, so they're easy to take off if you need to clean them or, you know, for your initial installation. And then the Kinali software worked great. I didn't have any issues with it. We know how finicky software can be when it comes to products like this or AIOs or anything. And it just worked great. No problems with that at all. So check out the review. Stay tuned for our full length YouTube video, which will be coming out really, really soon. Old man is here. Good to see you here this week. Was he here last week? I don't remember. I don't remember if he was there last week. It was like last week or the week before he was not there. We missed him. So yeah. And he said, I was thinking about a new build with a white motherboard case and GPU. My problem is my RAM is black. This cooler would be perfect to hide that. Yeah, that's kind of the thing. It's like, you know, especially with prices of DDR5 right now, or even DDR4, you can get a non-RGB kit for less and you don't have to worry about it because you're covering it up with this cooler. So, you know, so I definitely like that idea. But moving on from there, we have Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a build from AK Mod. And
as soon as I saw the thumbnail, I was like, I know who did this.
Yeah. It's so in his typical style here.
Yeah, AK Mod.
Yeah, we have something that looks like it's out of a movie.
Yep.
So this is called Genesis Vessel, and it's like a cyberpunk sort of bio tank that's in like a research facility. That's what he said. And it's so cool. I mean, it looks like what's like the turtles.
Mutagen or whatever.
Yeah, it's like it looks like that. To me, that's what it reminds me of.
Yep. Yeah, like those canisters would like pop out, or you'd like replace them or something.
Yeah.
I don't know like what sort of fabrication tools or environment he has to be able to build these custom pieces for every build. And you know, some people would say, oh, it's just like, you know, 3D designed and then 3D printed, but like everything's so smooth and doesn't really show any signs of them being 3D printed. So I don't know how he does it. However he does it, keep doing it, because these things turn out awesome. So
yeah, they turn out amazing. And like, it's awesome too that like we actually have like, you know, this tubing actually has real coolant going from, I assume these are the reservoir, right? These
I would think so.
And then go up into to cool the system off. And I think it's just the CPU, I believe. Yeah. Just the CPU. Yeah, so it's a block for the motherboard and the CPU. So, but really just, I mean, like you said, just the quality in the craftsmanship is just awesome. And how it, again, you put this in a movie and it would just fit right in. It wouldn't be anything out of the ordinary, which is really, really cool there. So I definitely like that.
This thing's awesome.
Yeah, just the attention to detail is amazing. Definitely, definitely awesome. And even like that power cable, how it,
it's sleeved and
everything just looks awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah. So shout out to AK Mod for this one. Just another build where we're kind of like, what? So shout out to him. And again, as I always say, if you do want to check out really cool case mods and art with computers and things like that, if you're on the website, just go to articles, then Case Mod Friday. And we have so many that you can essentially scroll forever through, because we've been featuring builds for years now. So, lots of cool stuff to look through and really cool builds over the years. So if you want to check that out, you can go ahead and do that. And now we'll move on to news. And I mean, this story is just like, duh, like obviously. So NVIDIA's RTX 50 Super Series, we haven't seen it yet. Nope. Will it ever come out? We don't know. But of course, the big issue with releasing either the RTX 50 Super Series or releasing even the RTX 60 Series is the increased cost, right? Yep. NVIDIA is not going to eat that cost. Components are more expensive, specifically VRAM. And this article sort of illustrates that. You know, these Super Series cards are supposed to use 3 gig modules instead of 2 gig modules for the VRAM. And the price difference, where is the price differences in here? So they're between, so each 3 gig module for the VRAM costs between $60 and $70 right now, compared to $20 that the 2 gig module cost, the initial cost when the 50 series came out. So
why can't we just use 2 gig modules then?
Well, that's what they cost when they initially came out.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
That's what they cost when they initially came out. So now those 2 gig modules are probably $40 or something. And the big thing here is that forever, or since we've had these Super Series, the Super Series would come out a year later or whatever. It would be the same price as, so it's like an RTX 5080 Super would cost the same price as the RTX 5080 launched at. That's how it always has been. So NVIDIA, I mean, they could just be like, no, it's $100 more expensive.
Yeah.
For not much more performance, or, you know, that was the whole thing, is that if you waited, you didn't buy it initially, you waited a year later, you got the Super Series, and the Super Series gave you, you know, a little bit better performance for the same price as a year ago or however long. Now you're, it could be $100, $200 more expensive, and, you know, will NVIDIA just kind of be like, nah, we're good?
Yeah, I don't see what the point of doing this is right now. I think it makes more sense for them to just not do a Super Series. Let's head to the 60 series, because that increase in performance that you're going to get with this on the 50 series, I don't think justifies the price increase. Whereas the 60 series, you're going to have advancements in the whole card all around that could make it justifiable, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of, with that kind of, we'll just skip to our question of the week, which is, will the RTX 50 Super Series ever come out? I think, I don't even remember, how close are we to even the RTX 60 series being available or being, we haven't seen many leaks on it.
No.
Right. And that's the biggest thing. So, okay. So you're NVIDIA, you have holiday coming up, right?
Yep.
That's where people buy things. That's where they, you know, people get money to build a new computer, or it's like, oh, it's that time of year, you know, there's sales, I'm going to buy a new computer. And you want a new product during this time, you know, we're in what, July, August, September, you know, you need something, but the biggest issue is the cost. So,
because yeah, you're gonna be coming up on 2 years, because the 50 series came out January of 2025, so we're already a year and a half into these, right? We would almost normally expect 60 series to, like, at least some information start of what, 2027 probably, right? Probably maybe a release in normal times. So I don't know if that gets pushed back, then maybe I can see them extending the life cycle of the 50 series and giving us a super, but we don't know.
Yeah, I just think that the biggest thing with this is going to be the pricing, right? You can't expect the AIBs to, like, eat this cost, especially if NVIDIA is like, oh, you know, the Founders Edition is X amount of dollars.
Yeah. Or they require them to make, you know, a certain number of release cards like they've done in the past, you know, at a certain price point and everything. Like,
yeah. So I think
they can't make any money.
I think you could, if you increase the VRAM, you're increasing the VRAM size, because you're going from 2 gig to 3 gig module. So you're getting an increase in size. Everybody knows how expensive memory is, right? You have to kind of see the nominal increase in performance and price it accordingly, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing. Price it accordingly. I don't know if that works for them, or they just, you know, ride out the 50 series for till the 60 series, because at least with the 60 series, you're going to get increased performance, just raw GPU performance. You're also going to get increased efficiency. You're going to, you know, get
DLSS 6, right? Maybe.
Yeah. Whatever it is.
Whatever we end up with.
Yeah, there's going to be so much more with that launch, but how far out is that launch? And again, with the price of, you know, memory right now, is that something that they can even justify, you know, say like a 5070, you know, very, you know, mid-tier mainstream. What did the RTX 5070 launch at? Let's see. RTX 5070 launch price. So the RTX 5070 was $549. Could, you know, with the price of memory and
there's
a
no
new
way.
Like, so like a 5070 is now what, $849?
That's tough to swallow, man.
Like, for a 70 class card, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, what are we going to do? You know, that's the biggest thing. And we talked about this, how for like two generations, Intel essentially increased the cost of their high-end desktop chips by like double. They doubled the price.
Yep.
The sad part is people still buy it.
People, yeah, they sell. So what are you gonna do?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't. I'm not sure. I think if we do see a super series, they're going to have to eat some of the memory cost for it to make sense for anybody.
Yeah. Or they're just going to sit on shelves.
Yeah, they're just going to sit on shelves. So we'll definitely see what happens. It would be wild to be like 2+ years without a new graphics card release. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll definitely see what happens there. Old man in the chat said, a few weeks ago, Amazon had the Gigabyte Radeon RX 9070 XT gaming OC Ice 16G for $650. Now it's back to $750, but I've seen 97 XT 16 gig on sales for $689. Much better deal than the 5070 Ti at $900+. Yeah, there are some deals if you can find them. They're on old stock, obviously, that they didn't pay the increase in memory cost, but yeah, just try to find the deals if you can. If you're looking to build a new system or upgrade your graphics card, it's definitely tough sledding out there. And you know, a reason that you might be able to keep your old graphics card is, well, keep your old 50 series graphics card is that NVIDIA is working on DLSS 5. So they revealed a lot of new things at SIGGRAPH 2026. One of the biggest things is they're going to have like three different models, and you can kind of see this is the same person or character, and you can see how the three different models are. So developers will be able to choose from three different models. And another thing is, like, the big thing is, you know, the outcry that NVIDIA saw from developers saying, like, this changes my artistic vision for my game. Right.
Yep.
So now, you know, the biggest thing is preserving artistic intent of the game, and you'll be able to, like, developers will be able to kind of have these controls and kind of lock things in kind of where they want, so they don't lose that artistic integrity that they want with their game, which is definitely good. Because some of the early things we saw on DLSS 5 were like, what?
Yeah, you're like, it doesn't, like, look anything like,
yeah, it intended. Completely changed what the game looked like. So here are some examples. So this is with DLSS 5 off, and then you turn it on, and you can see, especially right here, it gets a lot brighter right there. I'm trying to look, like, the one of these oranges, they get they get brighter. There's a lot more brightness added in this one for sure. The next one, again, this is with DLSS 5 off. This is with it on, and it's going to be hard to see on the stream, but the biggest thing here is the actual, like, sharpness and quality of the leaves. Hard to see. Check out the article, but
I was going to say, look on the article. You'll be able to see it a lot better.
Yeah, you'll be able to see it a lot better. This one, I can't tell much, honestly. It's like, because there's two different screens here, but the next one is, so here's with it off, and then here's with it on. The biggest thing is, especially space, within his face, you can see more reflections. It's more sharpened. So you can definitely see that. Also, if you look at his necklaces and things like that, they're more sharpened and they stand out more with more reflections and things like that. So definitely some progress. And I like the idea of my game looking better. But you know, you have to have that fine line of artistic intent and all of that. And, you know, so interesting to see the updates from NVIDIA. Obviously, when it comes to DLSS 5, we'll keep you updated on everything and if it's worth turning on. Old man in the chat says, people were calling DLSS 5 a slop filter or Instagram beauty filter. Yeah, it can be. I like that, again, NVIDIA is giving developers more of a choice of what happens to their content when it comes to DLSS 5. I like that. So yeah. So we'll see what happens, but we'll definitely keep you guys updated on that. Now, there's some interesting little mods here with NVIDIA RTX 50 GPUs. Now you're going to be able to get per module GDDR7 monitoring on RTX 50 GPUs. So now with MSI's Afterburner and Hardware Info, there's a plugin to access these hidden registers. So now you can see each piece of GPU memory and its temperature. So if for some reason you're getting hotspots, or you're just a freak and you want to know all the temperatures of your memory, you can now see it per memory chip, which is really cool. So you can see everything and you can see all of it, and you can, you know, track it. You can see it over time and everything like that.
Especially if you're someone that's like either running custom cooling on a card, you know, so like if you've, you know, gone from your stock cooler, taken it apart, put new thermal pads or, you know, liquid metal on, and then put your new cooler on or liquid cooling, you can go here and say, oh, I may need to like reapply, or, you know, it may have shifted when I put the water block on.
Yeah.
This gives you that extra info there.
Yeah. So I really like that. So shout out to Unwinder from MSI, Afterburner team, and Martin Malik from HW Info. Now we have it. So yeah, pretty awesome that. Again, the more info, the better. Like, just give us all the registers. Like, let us see everything, you know, if we want to. So really cool that you're able to do that. Talking about bad news, DDR5 prices have hit their highest that they've ever been. 7% price surge in July. And you can see this price chart. Shout out to 3D Center for this. You can see, you know, as price has gone up, we're now at, you know, and they hit like January, they hit pretty high, 440% price increase. And it kind of went down, leveled out a little bit, but now we're back up to 448% price increase.
That's just gross.
Yeah. And I don't know, as we get into holiday season, this is going to get worse, because the demands, there's going to be more of a demand. Right? Because people are going to be buying stuff.
Yep.
Oh, man. Hard time to build a PC right now with this.
Well, I mean, we bought another cell phone in the family, and I'm surprised like we didn't have a price premium for it.
Yeah. You know?
Thankfully.
Yeah. So I saw
it hasn't necessarily hit everywhere, but it's, I think it will if we continue on this trend.
I saw an article that like the low cost phone market is just gonna die because it won't be low cost anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of wild right now. Oh man, the chat says DDR5 prices have hit the highest they've ever been so far. yeah. So
it's like almost tomorrow.
Yeah, next month we're at 455%. So we'll see, but shout out to 3D Center for putting that whole thing together and tracking all the prices. Man, it's just, you feel bad for people, especially like when friends are like, hey, I want to build a PC, you know, it's like worst time. Or my friend, he called me today and he was looking for a memory card for a GoPro, and he's like, why are these so expensive? And I'm like, oh dude, you have no idea. They're just so expensive. Steam Machine, we talked about it last week, how Valve released Windows drivers. So of course, people tested the performance, SteamOS versus Windows, and it's very much on par. The synthetic results are a little bit messed up because Windows handles multi-core performance better than SteamOS as far as like this type of test. But if you look at the gaming performance, you know, looking at this, yeah, it's not much of a difference. Where the Steam Deck, if you ran Windows on that thing, it was like at least 15% difference in performance in gaming, because it was just that Windows on those type of devices just is bad. It just takes up too much resources. On this, you know, Steam Machine, it seems very close. Like not much of a difference. Just depends on kind of what's going on and everything, but not much of a difference. And again, sometimes Windows beating it out, sometimes SteamOS is beating it out. And again, this is a different, same game, but at different resolutions. So it's kind of interesting. So kind of just, they kind of cancel each other out. It's kind of spot on.
I'm a bit surprised, to be honest, because I was hoping we would see more of a difference, kind of like when, you know, Apple got a hold of their own silicone, right? Or silicon and running their software on top of it, right? I was hoping maybe we, in a comparison like this, we'd see some advantages of that in-house, you know, design and manufacture and software given their OS an advantage over Windows. But
yeah, but I mean, SteamOS is Linux, right?
True.
You know, and this Steam machine is AMD, and AMD is obviously highly, you know, the, what is it, RDNA 3 GPU or 4 GPU? I forget. But, you know, all of that is highly optimized for Windows. So it's good. I do like that because, like, when the Steam Deck came out, everybody's like, yeah, you don't want a Windows one because you're just going to get less performance. This is going to be sluggish. You know, they fixed that a little bit. But it's good to see that, you know, the gaming performance is kind of on par because, you know, with the Windows drivers being available now, it makes it more of a viable machine for a lot of people. If they wanted a computer plus a gaming machine, you know, we don't have dual boot, at least not yet. It's coming soon, I think. But, you know, if you did want to run Windows and make it a PC, you're not going to see crazy performance difference, like 15-20%. It's going to be pretty much on par. So that's definitely a good thing there. Moving on from that, also, Steam Machine estimated to sell up to 15,000 units per week. Valve could sell up to 750,000 units in 1 year. So, you know, estimated weekly sales are 12,000 to 15,000 units. And this is an analysis. It's not official or anything like that. The base model, which is the one that's $1,049, accounts for 65% of total sales. If they have this type of momentum, could sell 600,000 to 750,000 units.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people are seeing this and they're like, well, you know, maybe I have a PS3, you know, PS4, maybe I just want to get into this. Like, you know, all the advantages of PC games, whether it's the mods, whether it, you know, there's like so much advantage of running a PC game over a console when it comes to a lot of things. And a lot of people, this is like their first dive into PC gaming, kind of. You know,
true. Yeah.
And it just like the game library as well. I mean, and all the games that, like, you know, end up being like 99 cents or like all the free games on Steam too, that are just like free to play. I mean, there's just so many advantages over a normal console. So, yeah, great to see. Honestly, I like, as much as neither of us would pay that much for something like this, it's great to see that if this brings more people over to the PC side of things, where it's like, this is kind of, you know, this is kind of the entry level into their PC journey. They might get this, and then in a few years they built their own, right? Which would be kind of cool. So yeah. Old man in the chat said, we have Golden Gamer in here as well, said micro center bundles are still cheap. I think he's talking about memory.
For memory. Yep.
Yeah. Old man says, I can get an Intel Core Ultra 7 270K processor, Gigabyte Z890 Aorus Elite Wi-Fi 7 motherboard, free Cooler Master Liquid 240 CPU AIO, and two free games for $481.49 on Newegg. That's a pretty good deal.
It says about the same as a 32 gig kit.
Yeah, about the same as a 32 gig kit of memory. Yes, that's the crazy thing. Yeah, so you got to, yeah, and if they are doing bundles, I know Newegg does bundles with memory. Yep. So does Micro Center. And some of the Micro Centers are like in-store only. You can reserve it online and go in. If you have a Micro Center close, you know, check into that as well. Are they doing like open box DDR5 like at Best Buy or something?
I don't know.
that would be like a way to find some as well.
Yeah. Find some of those returned. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have been seeing every now and then like posts on Reddit where they're like, this rural Walmart had DDR5 32 gig kit for like $40, you know? And
yeah. Yeah. There's a, you're like, why doesn't it happen at my Walmart?
Yeah. Why not me?
Yeah. Yeah. Fantex announced some new cases, but not cases that you might think. They have their Enthu server chassis for AI and enterprise workloads. And you're going to see a lot of this, even with, we talked about ASRock at the beginning of the episode here, how they have AIOs for workstation, because with the consumer PC market kind of going down, a lot of people are building their own AI rigs for, you know, AI tasks and things like that, instead of using the cloud and everything. And if you want to do that, of course, you need a big case that will support these workstation motherboards and everything like that. So we have the Enthu Pro Server V2 and the Enthu Elite Server. These remind me of like old school PC cases that we just normally used to have. And look at the inside. I mean, look at that. All they the fans. Fit
so much.
Yeah. Just so much you can fit inside all the, you know, this is like an old school PC case almost, but it does support workstation motherboards. You can kind of see here how they have it set up with, it looks like a 420 millimeter AIO here and a 360 over here, for the, you know, dual chip motherboard that they have installed there. But yeah, if you were doing, again, any type of AI work or something like that, and you needed a high performance case that not only can support the motherboard, but has room for storage and cooling, these are definitely it.
Good Lord. It's just a wall of fans.
Yeah, look at this. Wall of fans. But yeah, you're going to see a lot more of these as, again, the consumer market goes down, and you're going to see these case companies come out with stuff like this because, again, it's somewhere where they can get sales. And again, they have the expertise to build, you know, or tool out things like this as well. So pretty cool to see that from Fantex. And OpenAI, you know, OpenAI is ChatGPT, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So ChatGPT, huge. But OpenAI sort of released a hardware product.
And I don't know about this thing.
But it is essentially a glorified non-Steam Deck little controller.
Stream Deck, yeah.
So it's a $230, it's called a Codex Micro Keypad. Now, this is a collab. This is not their own standalone product. They did this. It's co-designed with a company called Work Louder. It has 13 mechanical keys, a rotary dial for AI reasoning, and a joystick and RGB status indicators. So essentially, like, it's going to change colors based on kind of what's going on with the AI that you're working in. And then you'll have different commands and things like that. You have like this, which is a dial, which you can use to do things. This is like a little joystick, which, again, you can use to do things. It's $230.
I mean, I love this type of product, or like, I don't know that I like the application for it and like what it can do, but I love like the design and just the, you know, the buttons and the look and the coolness. I don't like the price, and I feel like this is just something that people are just going to throw away.
Yeah, and now, I mean, I assume they're going to have like an API that connects right into your AI agent. So like, again, like the RGB and everything will, you know, work, you know, to show the status of your agent and things like that.
I guess, like,
yeah, let's see what they got here.
I just, we're getting so like futuristic with AI, and here we are back at buttons and dials.
This is true.
Like, yeah. I mean, to me, this reminds me of the, I don't have it on my desk right now. The video control, unit, right? It's similar type of thing. Or Cooler Master had the modular
Master Dock
that had like the modular components you could add. similar things. Like, I need to see somebody using this, like, and maybe they have a video and I just haven't watched it. Like, I need to see it in use.
You know, if your agent has an unread chat, it's going to be green and it's
cool.
It's
my Outlook has a little red dot on it when I have a new email or whatever. Like, you know, so what?
Yeah. You know,
trigger skills instantly by touching a joystick. Well, if it's so smart, why doesn't it just do it?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm trying not to be negative, but
for $230 is kind of expensive. But people will buy it for sure. Cause it's like the first thing. And it's like for people working in AI, they're like, oh, I need that. When like, essentially you could probably do the same thing with a Stream Deck and like you could change the keys to, you could have more keys cause you could have different menus set in the Stream Deck. Right.
Now I will agree with old man 100%. Bring back buttons and dials, especially in cars. No touchscreen while you're driving. Yeah, I do like for temperature control and stuff like that. Buttons and dials 100%. I do like the touchscreen for like Android Auto though, for controlling my multimedia. I'm fine with, but you shouldn't have to go through like menus just to turn your fans up and down and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Now here's a crazy story. This is a very crazy story. So TSMC, headquartered in Taiwan. That's where, you know, most of there's TSMC in Arizona, New York, you know, making some chips, but most of the stuff is being made in Taiwan. This story says that 9% of Taiwan's electricity is used by TSMC.
That's a lot.
Yeah. 9% of the entire country.
Yeah, I mean, like you zoom out and just look at the island and like the cityscape and you're like, wow, look at like all this infrastructure and all these buildings and lights and just life. And then you're like, yeah, almost 10% of that that company over there is using up.
Yeah. Like, so what? A new law could force them to become their own power provider. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so
charge them more if you like. If you're worried about it, they're obviously. Is it because of capacity? Constraints, right? Says, are they like running out of power?
It says the Taiwanese Ministry of Economic Affairs is spearheading this legislative change to move large-scale industrial users away from total reliance on the national grid.
So decentralizing power usage.
Okay. Yeah, so it's interesting. But it's just crazy to think that TSMC uses 9% of the total capacity of Taiwan's power grid.
Yeah.
That's just a little crazy.
Working on those little pocket reactors.
Yeah. I watched this video about, I guess the U.S. government had this thing where where companies could make a portable nuclear reactor. I should send it to you. It's actually really cool. This one startup, that's what they did. They made a portable nuclear reactor. So like the whole idea, and the whole, I don't know if it was a contest or it was just like
neighborhoods and stuff.
Oh no, it's like you could take this to a military base and just plug in and you have power for this whole base. Or like, you know, like say like when back when Afghanistan happened and all that, you had to build these bases and build and get power to these bases or use these big generators. Now you can, you know, essentially they were like airlifting this thing, which looks like a big box, this big box, right? It's huge, but it's like the size of a car or whatever, but that is a nuclear reactor that can power like an entire military base. It was really cool.
Yeah.
It was actually a really cool, it's like a 14 minute video on YouTube. I can send it to you. But yeah, really, really cool. And I think that's where we're going to when it comes to these data centers too, is that, you know, these data centers are going to require so much power and so much everything that you're going to see them, just the data center being powered by like this nuclear, this tiny, you know, it's going to be small, like you said, size of a car, like this nuclear reactor that's powering these big data centers. I think that's eventually where we're going to get, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But yeah, still pretty crazy. 9% of Taiwan's total electricity is being used by TSMC.
Got to get them chips.
Yes. And then moving on to gaming, GTA 6 pre-orders are out there for console. GTA 6 projected to do 4.5 billion in its launch week. They said an analytics firm projects that the game could generate between 3.3 billion and 5.2 billion in global revenue during its first week. Do you think this will be the biggest game launch in history?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's we've waited so long. The price point just in general is pretty high, right? What is it, $80 for the standard and like $100 for the... Yeah, there's just so much hype and wait for this. GTA 5 what made a billion in its first 72 hours.
2013. So, that's crazy. Yeah, 20,
or 13 years ago. So I mean,
it seems like I remember when GTA 5 came out.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. It's that long ago. You know? Like that's just wild.
Yeah, I think this can easily be the biggest
release. And I think for, you know, the everybody who played GTA 5, maybe if you don't even play it anymore, they're going to be so hyped for it. And then all of these like RP servers and everything that you know, all those people who still continue to play GTA 5, they've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this. It's just the hype for it. It's just going to be crazy.
Yeah, I'm excited to see this game for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited to see kind of what it's about as well. So
I'm not going to be able to play it when it comes out because I'm not going to buy a console just to do it. But
yeah, me neither. But it will be, yeah, we see. It would be interesting to see how long till the PC version comes out too. That'll be big. What if, here's a crazy thing. I don't know how they would do it or how it would be like something, but imagine if Valve's like first 6 months GTA. Valve? Yeah, just listen.
Okay.
They do a deal with Blizzard and they're like, hey, GTA on PC can only be played on the Steam machine. I don't know how they would do it, but it can only be played on the Steam machine for the first 6 months.
You said Blizzard, but you mean Rockstar?
Oh, yeah, Rockstar, sorry.
Okay, I was trying to put that together in my head. I was like, hang on.
Valve has the money to
sell some Steam machines, that's for sure.
That's what I mean. So you... And again, that would be the incentive to buy the Steam machine, right?
Yeah, I mean, a copy of the game to sell to somebody doesn't cost you anything, right? Like, so... Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Golden Gamer said, hopefully they don't wait an entire year for the PC version. I would say it's probably at least a year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
But yeah. Yeah, it will probably be at least a year, I'm guessing. What was like, so both Red Dead Redemption were like a long time. GTA 5 was a pretty long time, right? Wasn't it a year?
Since... Oh yeah. It was at least a year.
Yeah, I don't remember. It's so long ago, but yeah. So I think that it's going to be the best selling game of all time.
Yeah. I think the only way you could top it is like a Half-Life 3. You know what I mean? And even then, I think your Half-Life 3 has the problem of it. Well, it's a PC game, right? So you've only got that audience.
But for also, the most part. But also, how old Half-Life? You know, like I know people who don't even know what Half-Life is.
Yeah.
But they know what GTA is. You know what I mean? So there's like a big, you know, because Half-Life 3 should have came out like a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that is the news for the week. Coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a motherboard from ASRock. It is their B850 Challenger Wi-Fi White. One thing I really like about these motherboards is now, like, you know, when you like get in a motherboard, you're like, I want the white version. So then you can only buy like the certain model because that's their only white model. With this B850 Challenger board, they have the normal B850 Challenger and the B850 Challenger White. The only difference is the color. So you, if you want this board, you can get it in white and you can get it in black, and it's the same board. So I really like that they're doing that. But I'll be taking a look at this board, B850 chipset on AMD. So definitely stay tuned for that. Might have some other stuff next week, or actually this week, right? Yeah, this week is Comic-Con. So I'll be going to Comic-Con here in San Diego, hanging out with all Ryan's friends.
I got to see what the Comic-Con exclusives are. Have you stopped by some booths for me?
I'm not waiting.
You're going to be busy.
Yeah, but there are a handful of PC hardware brands that are going to be in and around Comic-Con, so we'll be doing some stuff with them. So, follow us on social media. We'll be a lot there. But it'll be my first Comic-Con, actually. So I've never been to Comic-Con. Kind of fun to check all that out and all of that. So stay tuned for that as well. Anything else tech related that you wanted to talk about?
I think I talked about my laptop that I bought last week, didn't I?
Yes.
Yep. So have you had a chance to use it? No. And I'm getting ready to go on like a week long trip, and I think I'm just not going to bring it.
Really?
Because I'm not going to be ready yet. I'm weird. Like, I don't want to use it until I've made my video and content on it about it. I don't know why.
I don't know. Open it up, get all my stuff on there. Good to go.
I know. But I want it to look and feel fresh, like for the content, because I don't want it to, you know what I mean? Like, I want it to look like it does out of the box. I don't want a bunch of icons on the desktop. I'm weird.
Yeah, you are weird.
I know.
Yeah, I've just been working. I have so much stuff here to review. It's kind of insane right now. But lots of content. First long form video since Computex. So it's been a while. I've been just doing short form and other stuff. So first long form video, either going to come out tomorrow or the next day. So stay tuned for that. And that's going to be on the CPU cooler that we talked about today, which is the Trix Taurus. And then this following week, more than likely no podcast because Ryan is going on a little vacation. So we'll probably take next week off. So, but we'll keep you updated. So, you know, just check our social media. We'll let you know if we decide to do the podcast or not. And just like, we haven't gamed in so long, but
I know
we're both busy.
We'll get there.
Yeah. So we're both have stuff going on. So no gaming tonight. We need to get back into the gaming though, for sure. So, maybe when you get back from your trip, we'll do a nice little gaming night. Cause I have some gaming stuff I need to test. You know, I got to get some games going on. So, but thanks everybody for coming out. We had Golden Gamer and Old Man in the chats. And of course, everybody that listens later. And if we don't see you next week, we will see you the following week. So catch you guys later.